I'm going to give my message in three parts. This is the first one. Then we will do a bit of singing, and then I will continue on. So this is an interesting portion of scripture in the Gospels of the resurrection of Jesus. And we've been walking through the book of Mark, and we come to this almost last portion of scripture. And as we've been walking through Mark, we've been looking at the identity of Jesus. We've been asking the question, who is this? Who is this man who calms storms, who forgives sins, who walks towards the cross, refuses to come down and dies, and then is buried? And we come to this final scene in Mark, and it's a curious one, is it not? Mark doesn't really give us a final scene. He gives us an empty tomb, kind of an unfinished ending. I think we can use that maybe to our advantage today as we look at this, because that's not the end of the story, the empty tomb, is it? So in Mark, here, chapter 16, we see that very early in the morning, the women come to the tomb. They're not coming with hope. How can you? They're coming, as we often do, to a grave with grief and mourning. They're coming with spices. They're coming to finish the burial, to show dignity to Jesus, to bring closure. And they ask a question, as we heard, a practical question. Who's going to roll away this stone? But when they arrive, the stone is already moved. Bewildered, amazed. And then inside they hear, "You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified. He is risen. He is not here." But here's an interesting thing, because if you read the other Gospels, it seems like there's more of a celebration. It seems like there's more engagement. But here, they don't celebrate. They don't run and shout. Instead, what we got told is that they tremble and are bewildered. No resolution, just silence. Some have said that perhaps what is happening here is that Mark's gospel, and we'll look at this in a couple of weeks, Mark's gospel comes to an end kind of abruptly, and the figuring is that the manuscript was damaged in some way. This wasn't the end of what he wrote, but this is the end of what we have. But I think it's something in this that we can look at, that the resurrection doesn't fit inside the expectations that the ladies went to that morning, and the disciples, who we'll see later on, didn't also expect. Even though it was told of them, it was something they didn't expect. In many ways, it disrupted their comfort. They were going to the tomb, and it was going to bring some comforting to them, but it disrupted that comfort that they were maybe seeking. No one expected this, not the women, not the disciples. They had seen him died. They see him died, and they saw that he was buried. And as far as they knew, the story was over. But what we are beginning to see even more is that Jesus is the risen one, but yet not understood. So I think if we're honest, we would say there are many people who are living in a way that they're struggling to accept this story. They are not rejecting God, but they're just not quite know what to do with him. And we all, at some point as we sit here, would find ourselves that we carry questions, do we not? We carry uncertainty at times, do we not? We carry moments where faith feels unfinished. Maybe kind of like when you get into this portion of scripture and you go, wait a minute, there's got to be more. I think it invites us into something. And I want to invite us into it. The empty tomb. Something that we are not yet sure what it means. I want to look at this account here this morning. Because the story continues. And when you read John chapter 20, we get more of what has taken place. They go to the tomb. The stone is rolled away. His body is not there. The disciples come running. Peter looks into the tomb and John comes after him and they see that he is not there. The tomb is empty where they had laid him. They leave and Mary lingers. In verse 11 it says, Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over and looked into the tomb and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been. And at once, one at the head and one at his foot. Verse 13, and they asked her, Woman, why are you crying? They have taken away my Lord, she said, and I do not know where they have put him. At this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, but she did not recognize him, did not recognize that it was Jesus. He asked her, Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for? Thinking that he was the gardener, she said, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Mary, she thinks he is gone. She thinks somebody has taken the body and they moved the body. She is trying to figure out how to grieve when the one she wants to grieve is not there. She assumes that the gardener has taken him. And then one word is spoken. One word. Her name. And everything changes. She does not recognize him by sight, but she recognizes him by what she hears. There are many who come seeking religion, seeking spirituality. They would say, I am open, I am searching, I believe there is something there, I am spiritual. And I think it matters because the resurrection story begins here with people who don't understand what is happening. No one started with certainty. But notice the story moves, not towards an idea, not towards general spirituality, but it moves towards a person. See, resurrection is not first about believing something. It's about encountering someone. And you might think, wait a minute, I believed. You believe because you encountered something. You encountered in Jesus, which caused you on that path of believing. I think spirituality can feel often like we're reaching up or we're reaching in or we're trying to connect to something beyond ourselves. But the resurrection story is different, and we read it here because God is coming towards us, speaking, calling, knowing your name. The fact that you are here today, either that you have heard God speaking, and maybe you don't quite understand everything, or you know that he has spoken to you already and you have come receiving and believing, but it has started because he came to you and he spoke your name. And what we begin to realize about Jesus is who he is and who he's always been. Jesus is the risen King who knows your name. So maybe you're here today and you say, I'm searching. I'm not sure what I believe. And I would say to you, that is okay. Because Easter offers something more than this is something, there is something out there. It offers this. Someone is alive and he is still calling. Mary heard her name spoken recognized it was Jesus, but didn't have it all put together. The resurrection is not just something to understand. It is someone to meet. I was 8 years old once. I was with my family, and I was at a crusade back in the day. Can't remember the message, but I do remember that what was spoken stirred something in my heart. God was speaking my name. I was standing next to my best buddy, I think. I can't really remember, except I knew I was next to somebody. Must have been my best buddy. My parents left me alone, believe it or not, 8 years old with my best buddy. And the call came to go forward, to know Jesus. Nobody prompted me. My buddy didn't move. I did. And I went forward, 8 years old. God was speaking my name. I said yes to Jesus, but I can tell you at 8 years old, still had a lot to understand. So when I got to be 12 years old, and our family attended church on a regular basis, can't tell you what the message was, but I remember coming home that day from church and sitting in the dining room, and I just began to cry. My mom was making dinner or lunch, and she says, "What's wrong, son?" And I said, "I think I'm going to go to hell." And she says, "Why is that?" I said, "I don't know. I just feel like I'm going to go to hell." And she says, "Well, let's pray about that." And so we did. Perhaps I had another conversion experience. I've had several of them in my lifetime. Moving a little bit closer to Jesus, knowing him a little bit more. I think that day there was something inside of me that gave this assurance that if I was to die right now, I was going to go to heaven. Fantastic, wonderful. A great assurance to have in your heart, is it not? But it wasn't for years and years to come that I understood what I was holding on to was something that was so much in the future, I didn't know what it meant for me today in the present. And we come to this last part of the story, and I want to move us back into Mark chapter 16 again, because it's here that an angel says, "He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And I think this line means so much. We should take it into account in our own lives that he says he's going to go into Galilee. He's going to go ahead of you. He wasn't staying there. He wasn't going to explain who he was there. He was going to go ahead of them. They weren't to build a monument there. But he was doing what he had done at the very beginning. He was saying, "Come follow me right now, today." And I see in here that the resurrection is not the end of Jesus' mission. It is the beginning of ours. That there is for us new creation, but not new creation in what is to come. And yes, I will one day depart from this earth, unless Jesus comes back. But I more than likely, this body is going to give up, and this body will not live anymore. But do you know the glorious thing is that I am not dead. I will never die. You can never die with Jesus in you. You can never die. There is more than life after death. There is life today. See, in the first garden, death entered through Adam and Eve, did it not? But here in the garden, in the burial garden, life begins again. Scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation." Think about that. Does it say that in Christ, he or she will become a new creation one day in heaven? No. You right now, I right now am a new, living in new creation, new today. And I think this matters more than anything, because the future is not just a future down the road. The future is the present today. Life has defeated death, and it's now available for all of us today. Not someday, but right now. Jesus is the risen King who leads us into new life today. Why does this matter? Because of this. I don't have to live a stuck life. I don't have to live a life of being fearful. I don't have to carry everything alone. I'm invited to live a new way of being human. Can I say that again? You and I are invited into living a new way of being human, because we're all human, and we're either going to live it our way, or we get to live it the way he designed it for us to live today, which is new creation today. Not just what is to come, but it's what you have today. It says that he has defeated sin and death today. The power of sin and death today is defeated. So my life is shaped by peace instead of anxiety, trust instead of control, and love instead of fear. Because he is peace, he is our trust, he is love. And if I'm willing to live in him today, that is there for you and I today. So, an invitation. This is not pressure, this is not performance, this is not pretending. It's just this: if Jesus is alive, he is calling. He is calling. It wasn't just Mary's name he spoke. Today he speaks your name. You don't have to have everything figured out. I certainly don't. I mess up often. If you don't believe me, there's somebody who could tell you. I don't want to fail you as a pastor, but I may. I may not come and visit you when you think I should. I may not pray when you think I should. I may not say the words that you think I should. I'm human, but there is one who does not fail, one who is our resurrection and our life. If we are willing, we can step into him. Recently, Raina and I have challenged ourselves to memorize scripture. Why do I share this with you? I don't share it with you because I am great success at it. But I tell you this because since we have been memorizing scripture, there is a life in us that is deeper and greater. There is a peace in us that is deeper and greater. There is an understanding in us that is deeper and greater, because we are feasting on something that has life today. Because sometimes I wonder when I'm struggling, where is God? He hasn't moved anywhere. It's just that I have. As I move back towards him, engage. Something is on my mind more than myself. It is him. So some today, you might be here and you might be on that original journey, that beginning point, that place of, well, I think I want to understand who Jesus is. Can I can I offer this to you? A simple prayer that would be something like this. Jesus, if you are real, I am open. Lead me. If you have prayed that and you sit here today and life feels overwhelming, I would say to you in your heart today this prayer. Lord Jesus, I know you are real. I have known you are real. I am open. Lead me. He has gone before us. He is with us. If you turn to the right, he is there. If you turn to the left, he is there. He is behind you. He is before you. He is with you. Trust that. Step into that. Father, thank you that as we see in Scripture and you've made plain to us in your word, we have looked at it today, that death was not final. It was not the end. Resurrection was more than an event. It was just the beginning. The beginning for each one of us here today. Father, you know the weary hearts that are here. You know the lonely hearts that are here. You know the brokenness that is in this room that each one of us carry in some way, in some form. Lord, I know that some today carry a greater weight and heaviness and feeling, that sense of bewilderment. And God, that you are here. And I pray for that heaviness. And I ask, Lord, that what we would realize more than anything is that you are not calling us perfect. You're just calling us to come as we are. You spoke Mary's name without her understanding what it all meant. You came to the disciples even though they had run and fled and had doubts, you still appeared, and you're still appearing to us, revealing yourself, where we are, because that's who you are. And so I pray, Lord, for the heart that doubts here today, that today they would hear you speak their name. I pray for those that are here who have been wounded by others, wounded by the church. And Lord, they would hear you speak their name, that there is more than their wounds, that you are more than their wounds, that you are God who comes to bring life and to bring it abundantly. So we celebrate this Easter time, this resurrection time, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. The tomb is empty, the king is alive, and he is ahead of you. Into your life, into your questions, into your story. This is not the end. It is just the beginning of your beginning. We're going to sing one more song. And when we are done, the Bowdens have wonderfully made fresh hot cross buns. Mmm, so good. Can I say this to you? I am going to say it. As you enjoy fellowship with one another, do it in conversation. Perhaps it's talking about what resurrection life means to you. Maybe it's asking questions, what does resurrection life mean to you? But share in the resurrection life. Perhaps more than you will experience more after church than what you've experienced during church, because you are experiencing church together in community with one another. So I invite you to do that. I also want to do this, that as we sing this last song, if you would like prayer, or you want me to pray with you for someone, I want to invite you to come and do that. Maybe there is someone that you have been praying for, they're just heavy on your heart, and you just say, man, would you join me, Pastor Scott, in praying for them? Yes, I will. Or maybe just you are saying, man, I've got a heaviness on me today, and I would like you to pray with me, and I'd be happy to do that. I'm going to stay up front here. Please stand as we sing this last song, this last resurrection song together this morning.